Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Brainwaves, hear the world differently. Bringing community mental health to you, raising awareness and challenging stigma. Tune in to 3CR Community Radio, Wednesdays at 5pm.
Melbourne's Drive Time Radio program, featuring community organisations, powerful stories and information. Find us at brainwaves.org.au. Proudly sponsored by Wellways Australia.
I would like to begin by paying my respects to the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, who are the traditional custodians of the land on which I am coming to you from today. Land where at Brainwaves we tell our stories, and land where the traditional custodians have told their stories for many, many years before us, and continue to tell their stories. I would like to pay my respects to Elders past and present, and acknowledge all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander listeners who are listening today.
Hello and welcome to Brainwaves on 3CR, 8:55am, 3CR Digital Radio and 3cr.com.au. My name's Mark and joining me today, we have activist and community organiser with Trans Action Network, a radical grassroots collective of trans people demanding true trans justice in NAM, Sasha. And we'll be having a bit of a chat about their mental health journey. So I guess thank you for coming in today, Sasha.
Thank you so much for having me.
I guess we'll start the show with a question that I've noticed another one of our hosts starts their show with. And I really think, I know it's a good way to sort of get things sort of moving. So first of all, what does the word mental health mean to you?
Those two words have never come up for me when I'm doing well. If I think about my own mental health, it's a pretty sad story. I can't think of the last time I really had good mental health, for a long period, except for, you know, when I was a child. It's been a struggle, but it's something that I'm working on every single day, slowly getting better at. And there are a lot of stumbling blocks. But yeah, I think it's those words just mean it's a big challenge and lots that I have to overcome.
I guess earlier we were talking, and one of the things that sort of got us talking in the first place was, You mentioned what it was like for you starting hormone replacement therapy and just the what that process was like and the sort of the toll that it took on your mental health. Do you want to talk a bit about that? And also, do you want to, for any listeners that might not understand what hormone replacement therapy is, might be good to talk a bit about that and share a bit how undergoing HRT impacted your mental health personally.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm on what are known as feminizing hormones. So that means I take estrogen. I also take progesterone. Not everyone takes those exact hormones. There are quite a few different ways that you can go about it. I'm not on a testosterone blocker, for example, which a lot of trans women would take, but I'm non-binary, so I'm aiming for something a little bit different to that. Getting on those hormones was quite the process in the first place. It's pretty hard to just find someone that can get you started, or even just getting into a gender clinic can take months and months and months. I think I was pretty lucky and it only took me about 6 months.
How long would someone usually be waiting on a wait list to get into a gender clinic?
Yeah, it really depends on where you live and which clinic you go for. It can, yeah, easily be a year, 2 years. In the UK, you can be on those waiting lists for a decade or two. Yeah, starting on those hormones was scary. I didn't know if I was making a mistake or not, but then the first time I took them, I just felt super happy and it felt like the right thing, like I'd done something so good. And I've never regretted it since. It has made my life so, so much better. I like myself for the first time in my life, which is absolutely incredible. And I'm not just sort of hiding behind this empty shell of a person that I was pretending to be. But that also comes with all of this other stuff, right? I feel so much more happiness, but I also feel so much more sadness and despair and all these other things. And yeah, we have talked a bit previously about the fact that I ended up getting diagnosed with ADHD recently, and that pretty much only started after I started hormones, because they change the way your brain works, and ADHD affects men and women, cis men and women, quite differently. And the relationship to that and HRT isn't really well understood. There's not a lot of research there. But for me, yeah, it was quite a big challenge where my life just got so much harder in this one aspect out of nowhere, and I just was not prepared for it. But even with that, I would never go back and change my mind. This has been the best decision I've ever made.
Yeah, awesome. No, I think I got a little bit teary. It was always nice to hear when people are, you know, making changes in their life that are making themselves feel better, no matter what that is. So, yeah, I'm really happy to hear that it's been a good experience. But it sounds like, yeah, you've discovered that, oh, I have ADHD. And what does that mean to you to learn that, you know, through this this really awesome process to sort of discover, oh, this is a part of my life now. I'm someone with ADHD. How do I manage that? Do you want to talk a bit about, first of all, do you want to talk about how ADHD impacts your life, particularly whilst you were just starting HRT, how you realized it was impacting your life? Did you know it was ADHD, or did somebody have to point this out to you? Oh, by the way, this is, you know, I think this might be not just, you know, something that's happening because you're, you know, starting hormone therapy.
I can look back and say that it has definitely affected me my entire life. I just didn't know. And partly that's because I was able to manage it a bit better before I started hormones. But also just because I didn't really understand what ADHD actually was. I think we all just sort of have this image that it is just these kids that can't control themselves and they're running around like crazy, but that's never been me. I'm quite calm and relaxed all the time, but I just can't focus on anything. And yeah, you know, I spent my whole life thinking I was just a lazy person that didn't want to do all these things, even the things that I really enjoy and love. Like, I just didn't want to do them. I just wanted to sit around and do nothing all day. And that was frustrating and awful. And yeah, I didn't realize. And it did take someone prompting me. It actually took quite a few people saying, like, you know, that sounds like ADHD, or I've had the experience too. And then I started ADHD medication, everything got better. And like, no, that couldn't be me. It took me a really long time to sort of come to understand and accept that, yeah, this is something I've got, and it's a challenge. It doesn't reflect poorly on who I am as a person. But now that I know what it is, I can actually do something about it. And that process was hard, but yeah, learning to accept it has been incredible. And my life is slowly but steadily getting better.
I know it's early days, but I'm wondering, you know, what have you been able to put in place or learn to make it so the ADHD doesn't interfere with your life in a detrimental way, in the ways that you didn't like it impacting you? You know, for example, you know, not even being able to motivate yourself to do things that you actually do want to do.
It's kind of hard to remember really what it was like. So I've gone through the whole process now. I'm on medication, and that completely changed my life. Before that, it was just a struggle every day. I would try to do all these things, and I would force myself to do things, and that gets you by. You can get through life like that, but it is so painful. It's so difficult. You just hate everything you're doing. It's like torturing yourself, but it's the only way you can really get through life sometimes. Starting medication has changed things quite a bit. There's this concept that a lot of people with ADHD experience, which is called a hyperfixation. That's when you find something that could be new, could be something old, and all of a sudden, it's all of your focus is so intently pouring into that one specific thing, and you can't control it. You might not go to sleep, you might not eat or go to the bathroom or drink. You can just completely neglect yourself. You're just so absorbed in this one thing. That was quite rare for me. It would come up every now and then. It would be amazing if it was something I liked. But it wasn't enough. But starting medication just kind of gave me a button that I could press that turns that on. The struggle now has been learning to direct that to the things I actually need to get done instead of sitting down and playing guitar for 10 hours a day, which has happened a few times. Whoops. it's a learning process. A lot of it is just learning to recognize the patterns in my head where I've noticed I'm suddenly getting distracted doing something else. I need to redirect my attention, sit down and do the thing I've got to get done. I still use a ton of lists to make sure I don't miss things. I'm still misplacing things all the time. So I've spent a lot of time recently reorganizing my entire apartment so things are exactly where I know they'll be. Sometimes they're still not, but I'm working on it. Just this process of just finding these little ways that make things easier and just removing barriers to getting tasks done in the first place. Because I will notice that if there is something, it's just like, oh, I have to do this one tiny task, lets me start some of the bigger tasks. Even if that's only a few minutes, that can sometimes be too much. So I'll take the time now to sort of sit down and work out how can I remove that so I can just start the thing immediately, get into the part that I actually want to get done. I think that aspect is probably the biggest thing that has helped.
Are mental health impacts common when starting HRT? Is it common for people to sort of, for those things to become more apparent for people and find themselves sort of, they're about to embark on this, they think they're about to embark on one sort of chapter of their life, and suddenly they are confronted with two things like you've been confronted with? Is this a common thing that people might find that they might discover when they're about to, you know, undergo this type of thing?
Yeah, look, I couldn't tell you what the statistics are necessarily, but in my experience, yeah, it definitely seems to be the case. When I first started going through this, I was like, why is my life falling apart out of nowhere? What's going on? So I started going on forums, looking up stuff on Reddit, things like that, and just reading about all these other people that had been through the same journey where they had started HRT, things had gotten good, and then suddenly they've gotten really bad in a way they hadn't expected. It is quite common. Like I said, where suddenly you start HRT, you can access your emotions. So even things like depression can get a lot worse. Like, I have really struggled at times. I had thought I had been at my lowest point before HRT, going through a pretty terrible crisis, but I couldn't believe how much worse it could possibly get. Very glad that I made it through that. But yeah, it's painfully common, and it doesn't seem like anyone's really talking about it or like there's much research or information out there. So, if anyone's listening and you're going through this right now, you're not alone. So many of us have, and there are, so many of us out there who want to look after you and help you get through this too.
For you personally, how long had you been undergoing HRT before you felt that some of those initial difficulties sort of started to plateau out, and you're like, okay, I feel like I've got a hold of this now, and it's just, sort of, I don't know if smooth sailing would be the right word to use, but you know what I mean, better than it was.
I don't know if I'm quite there yet, actually. I think in terms of ADHD, that is getting a lot better. I've got a pretty good hold on that these days. There's still a lot of other stuff that I'm working through. New things seem to be coming up every other day at the moment. I'm hoping to get there eventually. I think for some people, that plateau, I guess, or that high, everything is just going right consistently. I think that can happen right away. For me, that sort of comes in little bursts. But working on it.
For anyone who is listening today and they're about to start their hormone therapy, and they are a little bit worried about what might, what challenges they might meet along the way, what would you say to them?
Yeah, well, you just need to take the time to check in with yourself more than anything. If you're starting HRT, it's going to make your life better. I never met anyone who's ever regretted it. I certainly don't, even with all of this terrible stuff that's happened. It's just take the time to make sure things are going okay. Make sure you've got all your supports in place. Things will mostly go really well, but when they don't, you're going to need a bit of support, and just, be kind to yourself and pick yourself up when you fall back down. It gets better. It gets easier, a lot easier than it was before you started HRT. Just keep an eye on your own mental health.
Can you speak to how mental health challenges, have contributed to your struggles expressing your genuine self, and why is that so important for our mental health to be able to express our genuine selves?
Yeah, look, it's a hard one. I spent most of my life hating myself, and I didn't understand for a very long time. When I look back on that period of my life, it's like I have someone else's memories and I was living someone else's life, or like I woke up maybe a year ago as myself with someone else's memories just implanted in my head. It's really strange to sort of have this idea that that was not who I was and I am now. I'm able to look at myself, look at the things I'm doing, and genuinely be like, that's me. I like the things I'm doing. I think having that sort of stable sense of identity, knowing who I am now, gives me sort of a grounding, something to focus on. And I can look at the progress I've made and realize how much further I'm going to get. Things can only really get better. But there is so much grief that comes with realizing that your childhood was so, so hard because of all this stuff that you didn't realize you were facing. Like, there are so many challenges that you blame yourself for, but they're not your fault. Life really gets easier once you get onto HRT.
Recently, the trans and gender diverse community have been used as a political football over the recent years. I don't think it would be wrong to suggest that this has led to a lot of increased stigma toward trans and gender diverse people out there. Sasha, how have you continued to manage your mental health under the additional weight of all this increased societal prejudice?
Honestly, I really don't know. I think, at least in one aspect, I've been quite lucky. I can pass as cis still very easily. It's just a case of wearing the right clothes, speaking in my habitual deep voice. And you know, that gets me through a lot of stuff, but I still face a little bit. I have been harassed, never directly confronted, but at a distance. Sometimes people will shout things at me. But yeah, I think the main thing has just been all of this stuff that I've done. I've engaged with the trans community for the first time in my life. I've made friends there. And we're all able to share in those struggles together and realize we're not alone. But also just being able to stand up and do something, fighting for something better. I think that is probably the number one thing. It's realizing that we can make the world better and it's only going to get better from here.
You've mentioned earlier to me that some of the challenges are the lack of medical support out there for the trans community. In fact, as a matter of convenience, as you just mentioned, you've presented as cis during medical appointments. Anyone who struggles with their mental health today, who's listening to the show, will know how exhausting it is to mask what we're feeling, but to also mask who you are, you know, putting on a facade in order to get the medical support you require. You know, what kind of impact does that have on you physically and mentally?
Yeah, it's kind of a weird one, really, because, you know, going out pretending, that is so much easier. Socially, it's the easiest thing because I don't have to sort of deal with that thought, you know, these people judging me for the fact that I'm trans and all this sort of stuff. And when it comes up medically, it can actually be quite interesting, the way you get treated by some doctors. I've had some look at the fact I've got HRT in my record and just be like, that's weird, and then just not bring it up. Yeah, it is very strange and it is quite draining to sort of put on this fake display, but it feels safer and easier. But I think a lot of that is just because it's familiar. I'm just defaulting back to how I used to be. It's not my real self. Yeah, it's a way to get through some tough days, but it overall is not a good thing. It does make life a bit harder to have to pretend to be someone else.
Do you, from your experience, dealing with mental health professionals recently, do you feel that there are enough that are aware of the unique mental health challenges facing trans and gender diverse people in the community and know how to actually provide support that might be unique to their experience?
Yeah, look, I don't think there's anywhere near enough support just in general, trans people or not, regardless. I think something that we've all come to realize, especially, you know, going through the COVID lockdowns recently, there was kind of a big talking point in the media that there is just not enough mental health support for people, the trans community even more so. I don't think I've ever spoken to anyone that specifically works with trans people. Yeah, I can't imagine there are really all that many that know the specific things, especially because we just don't know either. You know, the fact is there just isn't enough research out there into a lot of the problems we face. A lot of us are just sort of piecing things together and realizing, because we get together and talk, that these things just aren't really there in the medical establishment.
This might be a difficult question to answer, but I'm wondering, in your view, what would a good mental health system look like for, you know, for supporting people in the trans community? What would that, you know, be like? And can you share any times where you have actually had a good experience with the medical community throughout all this?
Yeah, I think sort of the ideal version of mental health support would be something a bit less institutional. I don't think many people really enjoy having to sort of go through this clinical process and be subjected to all this stuff, because we're dealing with something very human. We need people that feel like friends to talk to. If I could have any kind of support, it would be that. I would have someone that's just there any hour of the day, any time of the night, just to sit down and talk, just for as long as I needed. I've had that at times, and that has been incredible. It's gotten me through some awful, awful things, but it's just not always available to us. In terms of positive experiences, I have a psychologist that is incredible, but that has never been a trans-specific thing, but she's incredible. Has helped me get through some of the absolute worst things in my life and has turned me from someone I did not like at all into someone that I absolutely love. I had an experience a few months back, and I know we were in conversation at the time, so you're aware of this. I ended up in the emergency room, and that was one of the most terrifying experiences of my entire life. But the one thing that made that feel easier was the fact that there was a nurse there that was trans as well, and I just felt so seen. I felt so safe. That was incredible. That got me through just the toughest night I've ever been through. The other thing that really has helped has been outside of any of like the system, really. It's just been having friends. You know, I fell apart. I called up all my friends, said, "Hey, can you come over? I need support." And everyone sat down and listened to me while I sat there and cried and talked about all this horrible stuff. But, you know, that people care about you. You've just got to reach out. And sometimes that's the hardest thing in the world. But
So you've mentioned that peer support has been really helpful to you. How would other people that might not have access to that, how would they find peer groups that they might be able to, you know, share some of these particular struggles with? Are they out there somewhere?
Yeah, look, I'm not familiar with too many of them. So I do a lot of work out of Catalyst Social Center in Coburg. There's two there that I know of. So there's MASS, which is the Mutual Aid Social Therapy, which I believe is a talk therapy group. So it brings down sort of shares what they're going through. And there's also Mayor Chats, which is like a non-pathologizing space where everyone can get together and do a similar sort of thing, I believe. There's also a fair bit of support to be found online because we're all sort of going through these same things. Like, even though your experiences are very unique and very different, people have been through similar things before, and everyone sort of wants to get together and feel seen. So there are spaces online. They can be hard to find, but they're out there. I've certainly just had the best time sometimes just running into people, and then, you know, we'll just get chatting, and all of a sudden, wait, we're going through the exact same thing at the exact same time. What? And yeah, I think that has been the best thing. But sometimes you can just create those groups yourself.
And is there anything that people who aren't a part of the trans community, is there anything that they can do to provide support?
Yeah, I think the main thing is being a real ally. So that means recognizing the fact that the things we go through are real. It's not just a kindness to treat people the way they are. You need to reflect the fact that they are what they are. I'm not just pretending to be a non-binary person. I am non-binary. You need to respect that. But we also need people to just stand up and call out the transphobia that we see. Call out the fact that we're not getting enough support. We don't have enough freedom within the medical system. We don't get enough mental health support. These sorts of things. So, you know, stand up. If you have people that are sort of dismissing these issues, realize that, you know, you can affect quite a bit of change by talking to them. Like, the fact is that improving things for even a minority group as small as ours helps everyone. We'd be surprised to find that there are so many times that you would think, this isn't ever going to affect me. And then all of a sudden, a very close family member comes out as trans, or maybe you realize you are. It's incredible what can happen. Yeah, I think the number one thing that I would ever ask for is if you have trans people in your life, is just make sure they're doing okay. I'll do that for everyone in your life, of course, but, you know, one thing I can definitely say is we're not always the best at talking about these things. Being trans means having to hide so much for yourself, and you get very used to having to do that. It feels a lot safer. So, you know, there's a lot that you can do just by being a shoulder to lean on sometimes.
I'm not sure if I'm putting you on the spot, but I'm wondering if you can provide an example what the difference is between authentically accepting that someone is non-binary, or, you know, not really, you know, saying, oh, yeah, they're non-binary, but not really accepting it.
The example that always comes to my mind is you'll see people say, why don't they just use, you know, she, her pronouns, or say they're a woman, because that's the nice thing to do. It doesn't take anything. It's not about being nice. It's about understanding and respecting reality. You know, trans women are women. They're not pretending. You're not just treating them as women because it's a nice thing to do. It's because they are. That, I think, is the main difference, is understanding this is real. It's not just a mental health disorder or something like that. No. I have gone through all these experiences in my life where I have pretended or thought I was a man, and I wasn't. It was absolutely miserable trying to live that life, even pretending quite successfully for a long time, but it was fake. And it's clear to me just how real that is. You know, that there's no room for this sort of fake allyship where we just do things because they're nice. No.
Would you like to share a bit about the Transaction Network, the organization that you're a part of, and what they do and how someone might get involved in that if they would like to?
Transaction Network is a group that came together because of a call out put out by Pride in Protest, which is a group in Sydney, I believe. They put out this call for everyone to come together in a big call to start organizing a day of action across the entire country for the Trans Day of Visibility, which was March 31st, I believe. A group of us down here in Nam, we got together and started organizing. Almost none of us really had any experience doing this, so it was quite an interesting process. We had a lot of people that were also very experienced, and they guided us through a fair bit of it. We put on this massive rally, and I think it's the largest gathering of trans people I've ever seen. A lot of us felt the same way. I think the most I've ever seen in one group was maybe 10 people. This was a few thousand, which is incredible. We're out there sort of fighting for increased trans rights. We want better mentors. We want better access to gender-affirming care. We want our identities to stop being used for things like justifying genocide. There was also a counter protest in early April, I think, which was in response to a group that I don't recall the name of, who basically want to eradicate trans people. I had been to a counter protest against the same group the year earlier, and I think we had maybe 20, 30, 50 people. I think we had about 500 this year. It's quite the turnout. There's a lot of community support out there. And TAM is doing its hardest to keep that momentum going. I know there's work being done on mutual aid requests. If you want to get involved, reach out to us on Instagram. We're Transaction Network, I believe is our handle. We're always looking for new people to help us out or opportunities for people we can help out directly. There's so much that can be done. Doesn't matter what you need, reach out. We're always here for you.
Thank you so much for sharing your story with us today, Sasha. I really enjoyed our conversation, and I look forward to following everything that you're doing with the Transaction Network. I think you're doing really good work, and thank you.
Thank you so much for having me on. This has been great.
If you'd like to find out more about our shows, you can find them on our website at brainwaves.org.au or on the 3CR website, 3cr.org.au, or on iTunes. Feel free to send us feedback or suggestions for shows via email at brainwaves@wellways.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next Wednesday at 5 p.m. for another episode of Brainwaves on 3CR.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.